question was asked regarding wearing tchelet and the tzitzit. The Torah describes that when one dons a four-cornered garment, we have a biblical mitzvah to place on its tzitzit. We discussed last night, tzitzit are specific strings that were spun for the sake of the mitzvah, strings that are either made of the same material as the garment or strings made of wool and linen. Either one of those can be kosher for tzitzit. We put on tzitzit on a four-cornered garment or more. It's got five or six corners, you could also put on tzitzit. So we have in the Torah an obligation to put on tchelet. The Torah says tchelet. What is tchelet? So tchelet, by definition, throughout the Tanakh and throughout the Halacha, tchelet, by definition, is a specific material with a specific dye. Tchelet must be wool dyed with the blue color that is derived from a creature called the chilazon. So again, we said tzitzit can be made of multiple materials, right? Tzitzit can be either of the material of the garment. If you have a cotton garment, you could put on tzitzit of cotton. You just got to get cotton strings that were made for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzit. We generally always use wool tzitzit because that's good on any garment. We also discussed last night that a leather garment doesn't have a mitzvah of tzitzit, and we discussed that Rabbi Feinstein holds that synthetic materials don't have a mitzvah of tzitzit either. So, coming back to tchelet, whatever garment we're going to wear, we will need one string of wool, because we need one string that's dyed with the blood of the chilazon, dyed into blue dye, dyed blue to that color blue. What is that color blue? So first of all, we have to know that colors in Tanakh are not necessarily the colors we are accustomed to. For example, what is the word yirak in modern Hebrew? What is yarok? Yarok is green. What does the word yarok sound like? Which word? Yerek is vegetable. But if we take off the yod, what are we left with? Rake. What does rake mean?
Empty.
Devoid of red. The word yarok really encompasses in Tanakh and in the Shas, it encompasses a range from yellow to green. It doesn't have to be green. Gold is called yarok. Green gold, it means yellow. There's a yellow that... Yellow is also encompassed by the word yarok. So yarok means devoid of red. Devoid of any red color. It says Miriam, Moshe's sister. Miriam was sickly and she was very pale. And that's why she was called yarokroket. Yarokroket doesn't mean she was green. It means she was devoid of real good color. She had no red. So when we read about colors, we have to know that colors in Tanakh are not identical to the colors we are accustomed to. You know, there's the custom you were taught in kindergarten. This is a red, this is a green, this is a blue, this is a royal blue. Okay, but in Tanakh, the words don't necessarily mean the same thing. For example, Rashi is of the opinion that the blue of tchelet is black. We find often in Chazal that blue encompasses the color black as well. And in many ancient cultures, they did not discern between black and blue. I mean, we discern between black and blue, so we know that's black and that's blue. But there are many cultures where there's no difference, and in Chazal, there seems to be little to no difference between blue and black. So when we say blue, we have to know that covers a certain spectrum. Just like green covers a spectrum, and red covers a spectrum, and brown covers a spectrum. When we say para aduma, a red heifer, that needs definition. How red? That's why sometimes we say al tere yain ki yit adam. Wine is red. Most wine is purple. It's not red. Blood is red, right? Dam is adom, but wine is more purplish. Okay, so whenever we encounter colors in Chazal, we have to open our minds to the idea that the color might be more broad than we are accustomed. So we know that tchelet is somewhere in that range of blue. Maimonides says it's like the sky in the middle of the day, and Rashi says it's like the sky in the middle of the night. So what color was Rashi thinking the blue is, right? So tchelet is going to be blue. Now, it says that the tribe of Zebulun, I have a map here, the tribe of Zebulun got their territories out by the sea. And they were blessed, Usfunei Timunei Chol. They were blessed with hidden things, both in the sea and in the land. So there were two skills that we had when we were in Israel, two things that were unique. We could develop a beautiful... Okay, where's Zebulun? Anyone know? Where's Zebulun? Okay, out here. So... This map doesn't show it, actually. Ah, it does. Yeah, Zvolun is out here. Okay? So We started working with maps. No thing. And every week we develop the map and they learn how to draw their own map of Israel. So every week we add more cities on the blackboard, and they asked for tests. So we're going to do that too. I hope. I told them it's more work for me. But okay, so Zvulun was blessed with two things. Their sand could produce a glass that no one else could produce. People would come from all over the world to buy the glass of the tribe of Zvulun. And in their section, at their bay, they in their harbor, they had the chilazon. What is the chilazon? We'll get back to that in a second. When the first temple was destroyed, so the king, the Babylonian king, left behind workers because he wanted the famous Jewish blue dye of Tchelet. And he wanted that famous glass, what's called chivrita. It's called white. Machivrita? Zubita chivrita? No, I don't think it's crystal. Now, ancient archaeologists claim that this skill of glass making goes back to Avraham Avinu. They say that's how Avraham got so wealthy. He learned how to develop glass in Israel. Others didn't know, and he was able to develop a very unique glass. But that's archaeology. That's not, whatever. Who knows if that's accurate. Back to our story. So we need this blue dye from the chilazon. And the second temple is destroyed. And a period after that, we were exiled, right? And we lose our tradition on what is the chilazon. Now, some things we know. It says the chilazon is a creature that comes out of the sea once every 70 years. So we know that. We have a few other indications that's like the sea itself, that as you take out its blood, it loses its life. There are many places in Talmud that it's discussed in different scenarios. So now we come back to Israel. And approximately 70 years ago, under Rabbi Herzog, they started researching this. And the truth is, the research began 250 years ago. When people started talking about coming back to Zion, so then they said, we need a temple, we need a temple, we need priestly clothing. The Kohen Gadol's clothing need that red dye. So they started researching this in the hope of coming back to Israel. The research began long before we came to Israel. The research is ancient. There was a Rebbe called the Radziner Rebbe, and he put an ad in the local paper that he's looking for someone who understands fish, someone who could help him find the fish of the chilazon. So a non-Jewish scientist came along, and so he could make money on this, and he sold him. He said he brought him that, what's the name of that fish that squirts out dye? Squid, yeah?
Squid, yeah.
Okay, so he brought him to the bigger octopus. He initially looked into the octopus, and then he ended up, I think, with the squid. So they spent a few weeks or months in this huge aquarium they had in Europe. He traveled a long time, and then the Radziner Rebbe decided that the squid must be it. Now, there are many questions on that, such as the squid doesn't have to die in order to get its dye, right? Excuse the pun. And the Talmud says in Tractate Shabbos that you have to actually, that the chilazon loses its life as you take out the dye from the chilazon. So that didn't work. And they had many questions, but he decided it's kosher, and he came up with two big chidushim, one of which was that any blue color that comes from the sea is going to be kosher, from another sea creature also. Most rabbis did not accept his opinion. Approximately 70 years ago, they came up with this, they checked out the dye that was manufactured by the Radziner Hasidim, that was manufactured by this chemist, this non-Jewish chemist, and they realized that the chemicals he was adding to the dye of the squid would turn anything that has carbon into blue. Now, most objects in this world have carbon, right? That's why we use carbon dating. So, it's one of the reasons. So basically anything, if the Radziner Rebbe would have mixed those chemicals with milk, he would have gotten blue dye. So he didn't know that at the time. But that's why today, generally, other than the Radziner Rebbe's disciples, almost no one wears Radziner Tcheles. So if you go to buy Tcheles, so they'll give you one that's cheap, that's a darker blue, that's the Radziner Tcheles, that's going after Radziner Rebbe. Then Rav Herzog did a lot of research, and he came up with the miracle.
Was the chief rabbi, gentlemen.
Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi. grew up
born in
In Ireland?
Northern Ireland.
Oh, I thought England. Really? Okay. Rabbi Herzog worked on it and then came out with long papers that he thought it was the Myrix trunculus, which is a little sea creature that grows in a shell. And that's why they want to say that when the Talmud says it looks like the sea, it means like the floor of the sea. If you look at the floor of the sea, it's hard to discern between the Myrix trunculus and the rest of the stones on the sea. Okay. We don't know how it comes up once every 70 years. We are unaware of how it fits that line. But it fits, initially when they started experimenting, they were getting black dye because they were working inside a laboratory. And then they started working out on the beach. And in the beach, the sun's rays, as they penetrated the dye, they caused a chemical change in that, and then they started getting blue dye. So in his day, it wasn't really accepted. And then approximately 25, 30 years ago, some students from YU started researching this. Less than that, it was about 20 years ago. I remember when they gave their first speech. And based on archaeological digs, they found many, many caves where they were manufacturing this blue dye with the Myrix trunculus. And they have a few other claims of proofs of why they think this is it. And many prominent rabbis went with them. So they've been manufacturing what? Rav Herschel Schachter went with them. He says that others agree with them but don't want to come out publicly with them. They started manufacturing this. And basically when they started, some rabbis were for, some rabbis were against it. It's very expensive. And it leads to many other questions, such as how do you tie tzitzis with tcheles? But we'll leave that just for 1 second. So you have the opinion, some rabbis say that this is a good thing. Now, even if you say that it's not the real tcheles, technically if you wore tzitzis that were colored a certain color, and it wasn't tcheles, it was not tcheles, you still did the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Netanel Frankenthal was a youngster in Shir Aleph. This goes back almost 2 decades ago. Almost, yeah. 18 years ago. And I came to Rabbi Avram Shapiro, former chief rabbi of Israel. And I had just... America's Rav Kook Yeshiva. And I had just heard their whole lecture on what they came up with. And I took good notes. And I came to him and I asked him, should I put it on? So he said, no. So I said, but you don't lose anything if you wear the tcheles. You're still doing the mitzvah. Why not? And he said to me, I'll tell you what. There was a big rabbi in Bnei Brak who was known as the Chazon Ish. Okay? And the Chazon Ish was also asked this question. Why not put on the Radziner tcheles or a Herzog's tcheles? I don't know if he was asked about Rav Herzog's tcheles. Maybe he was asked about the Radziner tcheles. But people came with the same claim, you don't lose anything. So the Chazon Ish answered with the following story. He said, well, he grew up in a town where there was a person who was mentally handicapped. The poor guy had the intellect of a 7-year-old. And he would run around doing all kinds of mischievous things. So one day, they saw him running around town with glasses frames without the glass inside. So we'll call him Maishi. So everyone laughed. Maishi's running around with the frames of glasses without any glass inside. So finally someone stops him and says, Maishi, why are you wearing that? It doesn't help anything. So Maishi looked at him and said, but it doesn't hurt. So that's what Chazon Ish said. Same thing with the tcheles. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Fine. But he held it was so obviously not helping any. And that's what Rabbi Avram said to me about this tcheles. So, okay, so I spent about 10 minutes arguing with him. I didn't just give in. So in the end, he said to me, now by that time, there was a big group. There were like 30 people who were coming to listen in on this question. So at that point, he said to me, we don't have a tradition on it, and Am Yisrael didn't accept it, so we don't wear it. So I said, what do you mean? What does the Rav mean? So he started pointing around to everyone standing around. Do you have tcheles? He started pointing at everyone's tzitzis. Do you have tcheles? Do you have tcheles? Do you have tcheles? Do you have tcheles? He went all around the whole circle. And then I said to him, so what'll be if it changes in 20 or 30 years? So he said, look, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be here. He said to me. But if after I'm gone, you start looking around and you see everyone's wearing tcheles, you see that it's a common thing, then you put it on too. I said, wait, what does that mean? So he said to me, the biggest posek, the biggest halachic definer for Am Yisrael is the Jewish people themselves. God guides us in the right direction. And that's bigger than me. He said, look, no one's here is bigger than Am Yisrael. If Am Yisrael over time will accept it, then you put it on too. That's bigger than me. I can tell you, if you're asking me now, no, don't put it on. But you're asking me what'll be in 20 years, if you'll start looking around and you'll see that a lot of people have it, then you should put it on too.
In the last two or three sentences,
no, I'm telling you what he said. Yeah, that's what he told me. That's what he told me. I hope she'll be here in 30 years. That's what Rav Shapiro told me. 18 years ago, that's what he told me.
And since then, I would assume Rav Frankenthal agrees. The amount of people that are wearing tchelet has tripled and quadrupled, if not more.
I'm still not wearing tchelet. I don't think we've reached that number yet. I don't think we've reached the number where he would think everyone should wear it.
But it has certainly picked up. In high volumes.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure where to go.
I say ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Whoever you ask your shadows to, ask him this question, because there are those who say it's the right thing to do and others say not. My tradition is not. My teachers hold not. But that doesn't obligate you. Whoever your rabbi is, that's who you should ask. You wanted the broad picture, so I tried to give as broad as I know.
It wasn't very good. But one thing I noticed that I just find interesting is when I've talked to Rav that does wear tchelet, and he's very passionate about the tchelet. And you talk to people that don't wear tchelet, they're like, oh, but if you wear it, it's like it's always a kind of, I've never heard anybody that goes, no. Like,
Rav Avram said no, and there are others who I don't know if they want to be quoted who also said no.
Rambam, I think, says very specifically no.
I don't think so.